You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! How are you guys doing? It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Woo!
All right.
How you doing, Mike?
I am doing excellent. I am super excited for another episode. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You look like you were doing a little dance there.
I was trying to signal to my dad.
Should we get him on the show ever again?
I don't know.
Is he still embarrassed from the whole sausage incident?
I think he's still embarrassed from the sausage incident.
Maybe one day we'll get him on. But anyway.
He's in the kitchen. Should I try and sway him over?
Maybe. But in the meantime, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to come across in our weekly perusal of information.
Stuffs on the interwebs.
Yes. Let's get the introductions out of the way. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And how you doing, Mike?
I'm good. We kind of skipped over that, didn't we?
Yeah, it's all right. It happens. anything new happening, Mike?
No, not really. Just staying busy with work and school. I know, it's so boring.
That fucking sucked.
Yep, it did. It did.
Well, there you go. That's Mike for you.
Thanks.
Good job,
Mike. Make me feel worse about it. What have you been up to?
I had a very interesting couple of days. Got to go see Muse. They were playing here in Philly. That was a crazy show.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was... they have a laser light show and everything that goes with the music. And they have this, like, pyramid TV set that, like...
Okay.
...comes down from the top of the stage, and it, like... It engulfs the band so that when the pyramid TV tower rises up, you see the band.
Okay.
I don't know if that made any sense.
Not at all.
That's fantastic. But it was awesome.
TV pyramid tower.
Yeah. It looked like a pyramid made out of TVs.
Okay. And the band was inside of it?
Yeah. And then the pyramid would lift up and show the band.
And they would be real. So you're like watching the band on the TVs. And then the TVs lift up and there's the band in real life, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
There you go.
Okay.
Hopefully that was communicated better.
I'm glad I could explain the experience that you witnessed.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Well, that's why we're a tag team here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, right?
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
And that's a clip from us last week being in sync there.
Perfectly in sync at the end of our odd news segment.
Oh my gosh.
Almost the same tone, too.
Yeah, sometimes we're really, like, in sync when it comes to like, what we have to say.
And then other times we're wildly in different places. And as fans know, that's when we did a segment in tongues.
Yeah.
No. I kid.
We should really mention that as a disclaimer. Yeah. We bring sports, entertainment, news of Satan, odd news. Wait, what was that?
What was that one in the middle?
News of who? Don't worry about that. Don't worry.
I am the Satan's number proclaimer. So
there you go. We provide that as well.
Oh, wow.
All right. But anyway, let's go into that first topic that we promote here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It is time for sports in what we call the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
And again, we have another update from the world of Dennis Rodman.
It just never ends, does it?
No.
It's a story that keeps on giving.
Yeah. It's been a running tradition now here in the Crispy Noodle podcast that if Dennis Rodman has something to say, we've got to talk about it.
So apparently, as you know, last week we reported that Dennis Rodman would be going back to North Korea to visit with his friend Kim Jong-un, who he thinks is a great kid. Now
he's a glorious leader.
There you go.
That's right.
That's exactly what he's saying right now.
And that is a clip from one of our first segments on North Korea, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's how long we've been covering this.
That was like one of the first episodes.
Yeah. That's how long we've been covering this Dennis Rodman foreign extraordinaire story.
Well, now he's
foreign diplomat extraordinaire. I just realized I forgot that and just said foreign extraordinaire.
Foreign extraordinaire.
Yeah.
He's extraordinary being foreign.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay, so there we go. Foreign diplomat extraordinaire.
Yes, he is going to be the next Secretary of State, probably. but before that, he's getting back to what he knows best. He's getting back to basketball. That's right. He announced in a press conference that he will be training, or hopes to train, the North Korean Olympic basketball team.
So now he's foreign diplomat extraordinaire. Former basketball player, now he's supposed to be Olympic basketball coach?
Yes, for the North Koreans.
Whew.
He said, people are so much happier when they see sports. Sports is the number one thing in the world that keep people together. I want to bridge a gap between North Korea. So he seems to be pretty excited about possibly coaching the North Korean basketball team.
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Greatest thing about sports. That and foreign diplomacy.
Very important in the sports world.
Yeah.
People don't realize that.
Dude, well, Dennis Rodman does.
We have a video clip from the press conference that I think is...
Oh my God, he's giving press conferences about this?
He's giving press conferences about it.
He really does think he's like... U.S. ambassador.
Remember the one update, he said that he wanted to be considered for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Okay.
Let's hear foreign diplomat extraordinaire Dennis Rodman
in his own words.
In his own words, about, so is this about him coaching the North Korea team?
I think this is about a couple of different things.
Okay.
Just him talking in general about sports in North Korea. So,
all right, let's hear what foreign diplomat extraordinaire Dennis Rodman has to say.
Let's go to Obama. Talk to me. I'm right here. We got Obama doing one thing right now. I'm sorry, Obama. He's going to read this and do one thing and do this crap. Guess what? Now, Syria, really? I'm being honest. Guess what? And this guy just want to do one thing. Let's have a conversation with you. That's it. So why, Obama, are you afraid to talk to Dennis Rodman? You're not afraid to talk to Beyonce and Jay-Z. Why not me? Why not me? I'm pretty important now, right? Let's go there, Obama. Talk to me. I'm right here. Do one thing. I got the inside track of what you want to do. This is 1953. This is 2013. It's a new era. I would love to keep going back over and over again. That's why he gave me an invitation to do one thing the next 3 years to train anybody in North Korea. So hopefully that gives me an avenue to do one thing. Maybe loosen up a little bit to talk about how things work. Because I don't want to talk about politics, because if I do that, it's a whole different ballgame. For me and him to sit down for 1 month, and me and him is going to write a book together.
I am a white
man. That's a bad question. Go ahead.
Okay.
Do something cool, man. Do some cool stuff.
Who would be in your starting five dictators of all time, living or dead?
This is not a joke.
So that was Dennis Rodman on a whole slew of topics.
Wow.
Regarding domestic policy, with trying to talk with Obama.
Very important.
Yeah, very important. And
demanding a meeting with President Obama. So
talking about possibly a book in the works with him and Kim Jong-un, coaching the North Korean basketball team, and reprimanding reporters about how it is not a joke that what he's doing over there.
Praise the glorious leader.
Basically sums up the press conference.
Oh my God. I can't believe.
What do you think about that?
I can't believe
that.
How serious he thinks this is.
I think he truly believes that he's doing a lot of good. Maybe, you know what? We joke about it, but maybe he is. I mean, think about it. Would you go up to North Korea and just say, hey, we want to talk about politics? No. You try and, you know, what's the saying? You catch more bees with honey?
Yeah, and what do you think?
Basketball diplomacy.
And you think Kim Jong-un is actually going to seriously listen to him? on politics?
Dude, there's pictures of him online with him having dinner with Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Obviously, Kim Jong-un likes this guy.
He probably just likes him because he was with Michael Jordan or something. There's no way he's actually taking political pointers from Dennis Rodman. Come on. Do you realize how ridiculous that statement sounds?
You realize in 2 years you're going to be eating those words when Dennis Rodman is awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for ending tensions between the United States and North Korea.
Yeah, and then it's in
He will unify North and South Korea. He will end whatever tensions and conflict we have with North Korea. It's all going to happen. Look, it's steadily progressing towards that.
Praise the glorious leader.
See, there you
go. Yeah, Mike is praising the glorious leader, Dennis Rodman.
I just think that nobody's tried this before. He's really, whether or not it's doing any good, he's committed to it.
Yeah, he can try it, but he's taking himself way too seriously.
Well, he thinks he thinks he's doing good.
That clip you played, it sounds like he really thinks he's like an official ambassador or something.
I think he truly believes that.
Lighten up. You're not.
Unless you're getting a paycheck from the federal government that we don't know about, and you have official.
He might be.
And you have official clearance passes and all the stuff that, you know, if you have foreign immunity, that would be something you'd have to have. No, you're not ambassador to North Korea. You are just foreign extraordinaire, Dennis Rodman.
He's still a foreign extraordinaire.
Yeah. I'm demoting him. He's foreign extraordinaire.
But I'm captivated by this news story because it keeps giving us new stuff to talk about.
And now it's giving us sound clips.
I know.
This is not a joke.
You know, you never know. Maybe he is trying to soften them up.
Are you seriously believing Dennis Rodman?
Dude, we've been reporting this since February. There's
radical.
It is radical.
Praise the glorious leader.
Well, I don't know. I still don't think it's serious.
No, I mean, I don't think anything's actually going to come out of it. I do believe that Dennis Rodman thinks he's doing some good over there. So, as long as he's happy, I guess.
No, he's not happy. He thinks this is a real job.
That's right. He's not doing this for enjoyment. He's
going to have sleepless nights thinking about how he's going to resolve these tensions over the world and. It's just not going to be good for him.
You know, he's probably in meetings right now at the White House about this.
Just, you know, so much things that I have to ponder.
Foreign policies and basketball. How can I grapple between the two of them?
I don't know how I'm going to unite these two nations, but I will.
That's probably back thinking. At the White House right now meeting about Syria. He's going to branch out.
Whoa,
you watch.
Easy there. You got one country to deal with at a time, all right?
I'm telling you, man. A couple years from now, he's going to be in politics. What if?
I mean, he could.
If he decides to go into politics? What if he actually legitimately thinks, "Hey, this is pretty fun"?
I mean, he could. A lot of athletes consider that as a route.
But Dennis Rodman? Could you imagine him
wearing a wedding dress to his inauguration?
Inauguration? You talking president here?
Yeah,
President Rodman.
Why not? Let's go all out at this point. Why not?
You're going all in with Dennis Rodman, aren't you?
that's the kind of guy I think he is. He wouldn't run for just like mayor.
Yeah, he'd run for president.
Or at least governor. He'd run for something major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. And as always, we promise, this is our promise from the Crispy Noodle, we will keep you updated on the continuing escapades of foreign diplomat and basketball coach Dennis Rodman.
Yes, all hail Dennis Rodman.
Praise the glorious leader.
So there you go.
All right. We do have some serious news to get to, though. Just a little serious side note before we get into our main conversation about NFL Week 1. Somewhat of a tragedy occurred at a local high school football game in Lebanon, PA.
Yeah, and this is right outside of Philly, so this is kind of startling that it happened this close by. I mean, literally, I guess 90 minutes if you just head up north from here. I guess would be the fair estimate.
I guess. I don't know exactly where Lebanon is, but...
But what happened here was during a high school football game. And basically what happened was a player... You know, in the middle of a high school football game, you know, tensions rise. there are, you know, sideline fights and arguments and scrimmages and...
Yeah, it's a heated affair.
Yeah. But unfortunately, one player kind of took things a little too far. During the middle of one of these, after the play, scrimmage brawls, he, in his fit of rage, was able to take off the opposing player's helmet and use it to strike down on that player's head with his helmet.
I mean, this is sad news.
Yeah, and it's just shocking that this happened on a high school level.
Yeah, I've always thought that people took high school sports a little too seriously. I never thought that we would get that serious here in Pennsylvania, but I guess that's just the way it is nowadays.
Yeah, it was, and you know, this news story came up on my feed. And I was interested, so I looked into it, and then I saw it was Pennsylvania, and then I clicked on, you know, where it was in Pennsylvania, and I saw, like, it was only, like, 90 minutes away from here. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
Generally, high school football in this area is sort of competitive, but not as competitive as is generally expected of, like, the southern states, like Texas and Virginia, places like that. Here, high school football is competitive, but not that competitive. And to hear a story like this, where a player would be willing to strike another player, a defenseless player.
Essentially, at that point,
he had him on the ground, right?
Yeah, he had him on the ground and then took his helmet off.
Right, so this goes beyond a quarrel on the football field. It becomes an assault.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's definitely going to be legal, you know, authorities are looking into this.
This isn't a kid throwing a punch or shoving a guy on the sidelines. This is somebody pinning somebody down, removing their protective gear, and proceeding to beat them with it.
Yeah. Let's go. I got a short clip here of the firsthand account of what happened from a local news affiliate.
All right.
So let's play the clip.
Hey, Janelle. Yeah, the incident in question took place right on this very football field here at Anvil Cleona High School. And I did witness the whole thing from the sidelines. And I got to tell you, in my 30-plus years of covering high school football, I have never seen an incident quite like that. It happened in the third quarter of the game at the close of a play, some pushing and shoving, and then the number 15 of white for Hamburg, Joe Kaminsky, ripped the helmet off the head of Anvil Cleona player Josh Hartman, and he hits him not once, but twice, the second time hitting him squarely in the head. And then shortly after that, another Anvil player, Taylor Prentice, came running in, jumped on the pile, started throwing punches. He was ejected, as was the Hamburg player, and now South Anvil Township Police are considering filing charges that could range anywhere from a misdemeanor to a felony.
So there you go. A firsthand account of the local beat reporter that was watching the game at the scene.
It's shocking and saddening when, you know, a school event, it's a school event ultimately, turns into something violent and vicious like that, that we take it serious enough where kids
feel like they have to do things like this.
Yeah. That's not right.
Yeah. And unfortunately, this could have some pretty permanent effects. I mean, right there in the clip, I mean, this could range from a misdemeanor to a felony.
You could possibly see this kid's life and career get ruined through, you know, just this complete lack of self-control and just losing it there on the football field. And why was he that riled up? Why was this person in the position where he felt that that was the best course of action?
Yeah, it's just a shame for that students consider that, you know, that was an option for that guy.
Yeah.
Just as a side note, both players were all right in the fight. Even the guy that did get hit in the head with the helmet, he only had a checkup afterwards, and he did not get a concussion or anything serious. So luckily,
good news.
Yeah, no one was seriously hurt. And the game actually continued on without any further fighting. So
wow,
that's another thing you got to be concerned of. If something like that happens early in a game, that they said it happened in the second quarter, I think so. If it happens that early in the game, you got to worry if that happens in the second half.
Yeah, yeah, because tempers aren't going to cool off
in football. Yeah,
in football, no. Yeah, and again, I'm just shocked that these players felt that that was the appropriate response. What is what is the mentality in that locker room, in that organization, where these high schoolers think it's okay, that this game is that serious enough that I'm willing to beat another person to see my team do better, I guess.
And risk legal action.
Yeah, and risk legal action.
Yeah. I always thought it was odd that some media outlets cover high school football like it's
the pros.
Yeah.
And it's that
and you
focus
and you do
it.
See that in yeah. like, you know,
it's the
out of the way areas.
It's that football culture in America that puts football on a pedestal and reveres these players, and you hear it all the time. Sports you know, the jocks in high school get special treatment, or you know, just things like this pop up, and the parents, it's always been complaints about the parents taking it too seriously and getting in coaches' faces and starting brawls with other parents, and now it's spilling onto the field.
Yeah.
That type
especially
of mentality.
Especially with incidents like this. This is just unexcused. You can't... That is the definition of going over the line.
Yeah. There is no line. They destroyed the line. No, they did. They did. Whatever line was drawn in the sand, they buried it, they kicked it over, they stormed across it. When you have kids assaulting, this is assault. This is
yeah. They're
fight.
Using they're using the helmets as weapons.
Yeah, this is like this is an official police matter now.
Yeah,
assault but with a,
we
with
have
a weapon.
We have detectives that have to look into whether or not, you know, legal action can be assessed to these guys.
I mean, you're talking about a kid's life might be ruined because of this.
Yeah, felony. It could be possible if it goes maximum charge, that's a felony.
Yeah.
So, you know, just a shame that this story broke, and it was close by too. So,
which makes it even worse.
Yeah, you know, it just tears at the heartstrings here in the local Southeast Pennsylvania area that
yeah.
something like this happened. But also on the brighter side, no one got seriously hurt.
Yeah, we have to remember that everybody walked away okay from this.
Yeah, and no other fights happened afterwards.
Yeah.
Which that should be a miracle in its in of its own.
Yeah, let's look on the bright side.
If you think the second quarter, you know, was bad, wait till you see the second half, you know.
When do you ever hear that in a game recap? Well, the players were fighting in the first half and then everybody walked away holding hands in the second half.
Yeah. You really don't hear that.
No. So, I'm glad that the teams were able to put that aside and that nobody was hurt and they were able to finish the game without further incident.
Yeah. It's definitely good to hear that. But it's sad to hear that you know, stuff like this was going on nearby us, and we just hope that, you know, take it easy, everyone. Especially high school football.
It's
you know,
a game.
It's, yeah,
it's a game. Especially at the high school level, it's a game. You're not playing for a career at that point. It's a game.
Yeah, it's a fun extracurricular activity to do.
Right.
Go back and do your homework.
Work on those math problems.
Yeah.
Diagram those sentences.
Yeah, do that. Don't stop beating up people with helmets.
Good advice from the crispy noodle.
Yeah.
Don't beat people with helmets.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Not worth a felony charge when you're 16.
No, not at all.
No, not worth it. All right, well, speaking of football, now I think now it's appropriate. Should we get into some week one recap?
I think it's just about the right time to talk about some week one NFL news.
That means it's time for some football talk!
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fucking football!
Woo! Yeah!
And of course, the biggest news is our very own hometown Eagles won against the Redskins!
We won?
We won!
Woo! Yeah, 8-bit Eagles fight song?
Yeah, I just found this on Reddit after the Eagles' victory, and I thought,
nice.
I have to play it.
Yeah! We have a team?
Now we do.
Eagles fly on the road to victory.
Woo!
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Woo! Wow, unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Eagles actually won the opener, season opener.
You know what's odd? Well, not odd. Predictable, but funny, is that we all picked against the Eagles.
Yeah, we all picked the Redskins to win.
Go back and listen to last week's episode where we all said, oh, the defense sucks. They're too new. We don't know what we're doing. It's RG3. He's a god.
And then Chip Kelly showed us all wrong.
And then Chip Kelly put up, I think it was 26 points in the first half, running 53 plays.
That's crazy.
Yeah. For people that don't know a lot about
football. Also have to excuse me on this because I was at the Muse concert when the Monday night game happened.
Oh, so, shame on you.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I was doing this week.
Double shame on me.
I was watching football and supporting my team like I'm supposed to.
Hey, I was down the Wells Fargo Center.
Supporting Muse.
And culture.
And culture.
Yeah.
Just culture in general.
Yeah.
The concept of culture.
Me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dennis Rodman is a foreign diplomat, and you are the Minister of Culture.
Yes.
That sounds like a North Korean term. The Minister of Culture. Of Philadelphia.
Yeah, okay.
Praise the glorious leader.
Yeah! Praise me.
You're the glorious leader of culture in Philadelphia.
I am the Satan's number proclaimer and Ministry of Culture in Philadelphia. There we go. That's my official job title.
That's an elaborate title. Official Satan's Number Proclaimer and Minister of Culture of the Greater Philadelphia Area.
Yes. Behold.
Right. Behold in all his glory.
Yeah. I don't know why I went that route.
All hail Rich, the Satan's Number Proclaimer and Minister of Culture in the Greater Philadelphia Area.
Yes. I love how no matter what we do, there's always one point in the sports sampler where we go the furthest thing away from sports. But anyway.
It's true. It's true.
But anyway, let's get back on topic. So what do you think about the Eagles winning this first game of the season against the Redskins?
Well, Chip Kelly showed us that offense is ready to go. They put up. In the first half, I mentioned this, they put up 26 points. They scored a couple of touchdowns, a field goal, and even a safety, which is very rare. Yeah, you never see safeties. And they put up, I think it was 33 points before the Redskins were able to score their second touchdown. And their first the Redskins' first touchdown actually came on defense. An odd pass was tipped behind the line of scrimmage, and they called it a lateral. So therefore, it was a fumble, and they returned it for a touchdown, 70 yards. It was strange, but regardless, Chip Kelly's theory seems to work about keeping the pressure on and running a lot of plays. Whether they can continue this through all 16 games, that is still a mystery.
Yeah, I mean, because if you're running 50 plays per half,
well, here's the
odd
thing.
That's going to get tiring.
Here's the odd thing: they ran 53 plays in the first half, they put up 26 points, and then in the entire second half. They scored 7 points, and they only ran about 25 plays.
Yeah, but they didn't need to do anything in the second half, though. They were so far out ahead.
Yeah, but I would have liked to see them keep the pressure up. It's
yeah,
not,
the
it's
problem. Not, the problem's going to be when they face a real top-caliber team.
Right, because what happened is, people that know the box score, the Redskins ended up scoring 20 points in the second half, and they came within a touchdown. They almost won the game. A couple of key defensive plays prevented them from winning. But against a better opponent, having 33 points on the board might not be enough.
Yeah. You know, if you're facing against a Super Bowl caliber team, you're going to have to keep that pace going the whole game.
I think we play the Broncos this year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I think we play the AFC West. So against a team like the Broncos, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. Well, no. What's probably going to happen in a game like the Broncos, it's probably going to be just an offensive shootout. Yeah. Yeah. It's probably going to come down to like a last score wins or something.
But in an offensive shootout, do you take Michael Vick or do you take Peyton Manning?
Well, I mean, if those are the only two guys in the room, you have to take Peyton Manning. There's no other.
Well, who else would be in the room? Or two teams facing each other. Who's the third quarterback?
I just meant in general.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm the Minister of Arts and Culture here, all right?
Rich is getting angry. I'm the damn Minister of Culture. How dare you speak to me in these terms?
Respect my job title that I've just made up.
So what does the Minister of Culture have to do with football analysis? Go ahead, Rich. Explain that one to me.
The presentation of the sports world. I don't know.
The presentation of the sports world. Okay. We do get off track very easily. Yeah,
but
anyway, it was exciting to see that the Eagles pulled off a win in their first game of the season against the defending NFC East champion, the Redskins.
That's right.
Lest we forget, they won the division last year.
Yeah, with a 10-6 record, the Redskins beat the other three teams in the NFC East for the top spot. And now we have come out and loudly proclaimed that the Eagles may be back.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm not getting too ahead of us because
it is the first game of the season.
And also the second half, we did sort of collapse on defense. But the first win makes you a little optimistic.
Yeah.
Just a little.
It's good that we're ahead of our wins instead of our losses.
Yeah. Hey, we only need three more wins to tie our record from last year.
Woo! So,
think of the positives. But speaking of the numbers and the stats, I mentioned that we scored a safety against the Redskins, and this is our odd stat of the week. There were four safeties scored in week one.
What?
I know. How many safeties do you think you've seen in watching football in general?
I don't know. Five?
Five. So they scored four. So the various teams scored four safeties in week one.
Yeah, there was a lot of safeties going around.
Yeah, it was. I think it was, of course, now I don't have the actual teams that scored the safeties. The Eagles were one. I think the Jags were another one, the Jaguars.
That was the only points they scored.
Yeah, the only points they scored was a safety.
Oh, but that's the first, by the way, interesting, another interesting tidbit.
Okay.
That's the first time ever in NFL history that the score ended 28-2.
Oh, yeah.
That game against the Chiefs and the Jaguars this past weekend.
Wow.
Yep.
28-2. With the two being the safety.
Yeah.
That's very demoralizing for the Jags.
Woo!
Woo! We made history, but we lost.
At least we didn't get shut out.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how they scored the safety, but if they didn't have it, they would have been shut out.
Yeah.
That's depressing.
But, yeah, so an odd number of safeties being scored right now.
For those that don't know, maybe we should have said this. A safety is when the opposing team is tackled in their own end zone.
Yeah.
So
it's usually just because of a dumb play.
Yeah, they fumble out the back of the end zone or they trip and fall, which was kind of what happened with the Eagles. The running back fumbled the ball and Trent Cole hit him while he was trying to pick it up. But safeties, that means that you have to be all the way back at the one end of the field.
Yeah.
So it very rarely happens, which is why 4-1 week is a crazy number. I don't think I've seen that many personally watching football. So. Yeah.
And three of them happened, like, all within the 1 o'clock hour on Sunday.
Yeah, I remember texting you at one point, hey, there have been three safeties already. And we joked, oh, maybe the Eagles will get one.
And then they did.
And then they did.
The Eagles proven us wrong.
That's right. Another safety, I think, was scored by the Titans against the Steelers, if I am correct.
Yes. Yeah, well, that was a weird game to watch. I caught
part of
that.
The Steelers scored the safety the Titans. But the interesting thing about this game is that we all predicted the Steelers to win, but they didn't.
No, the Steelers didn't win that one. Actually, that whole division lost their first game. The Steelers, the Bengals, the Ravens,
and the Browns.
The defending
Super Bowl champs, the Ravens, fell to the Broncos, which we had predicted. But for that whole team to go winless, we thought that...
That whole division.
The whole division. I said the whole team. Mm-hmm. For the whole team...
There you go. You got it.
Said it again. For the whole division to go winless, we thought that division was going to be probably one of the better ones. And
now
so they
everyone's off on a rocky start.
Yeah. Do you think there might be some trouble in this division?
I'll tell you what. There is the Ravens, if you remember last week, I called the Ravens out. I didn't think the Ravens were going to be as good as last year. They lost. They lost all of their starting defensive players from their Super Bowl team. So it doesn't surprise
me. And Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one last week.
So it doesn't surprise me the Ravens aren't doing too well. The Steelers probably took the worst hit out of anybody in that division this week. They lost their starting center, and they looked lost.
Yeah, a Pro Bowl center.
They looked lost. Ben Roethlisberger did not know how to handle the Titans' pass rush. And his offensive line didn't know how to handle it either with his center out. And I've seen that injury happen to, like, I remember two seasons ago, Nick Mangold went down for the Jets, and that just destroyed their team.
Losing an offensive lineman.
Especially your center.
That is a big problem. The Eagles, that happened to the Eagles once a few years ago. Here's something interesting. I'm looking at the matchups for next week. The AFC North are all playing in their division. So you have the Steelers and the Bengals. And
so two teams are going to win. Woo!
So two teams have to win. Well, it could be a tie.
Oh, no.
You watch. Next Tuesday, we're going to record. We're going to say, damn, we talked about it and it happened.
Watch it, yeah, watch it happen.
So all the teams in the AFC North would be 0-1-1. I highly doubt that.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't happen.
But two teams will win and two teams will lose. The matchups are the Ravens and the Browns and the Steelers and the Bengals, which, oddly enough, that's the first of our Fantastic Four games of the week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's time for our Fantastic Four picks.
As people know, we started this at the start of the football season where we pick four games that stand out to us and we give a brief overview of it, and then we make our picks right here on the air so that so we can be held accountable for our abilities as football analysts.
All right, so there we go. Now we got the music kicking in. It's time to make our Fantastic Four picks. First one up, Steelers at Bengals, the Monday night game. I'm going with the Bengals. I say the Steelers are too banged up with losing their starting center. And the Bengals, you know, they had a tough loss against the Bears. The Bears are a quality team. I'm going to go based on strength of loss and the injury. I think the Bengals are going to win. And they're at home, too. So Bengals for the Monday night win.
Yeah, I agree. The Steelers also, you have to take into account that the Steelers lost their Pro Bowl linebacker in the offseason. James Harrison, I think, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think that's his name. But the Bengals, Andy Dalton, AJ Green, they have a good offense. Like you said, they're at home. The Steelers are probably still going to be reeling from that loss. They also lost Mike Wallace in the offseason.
Oh, yeah, that was a huge one,
The Steelers are just bleeding talent here. So I think the win goes to the Bengals. And oddly enough, or rather unsurprisingly, John Bruno, our associate producer, has also chosen the Bengals for this week.
Okay, so sweep for the Bengals. All right, let's get to our next game. Our own Eagles, we got to talk about them. They are facing the Chargers, who had a tough loss last week, also on a Monday night game.
Yeah, they lost in the near the end. They gave up a 21-point lead, and it's for that reason that I have to pick the Eagles. I think that the lightning offense of the Eagles will combat whatever the Chargers have to throw at them. I think the Chargers, they gave it up there at the very end. As you know, the Chargers have been in steady decline the past couple of years. They've gone from 9-7 to 8-8 to 7-9. I don't know if they have it anymore. No. So I'm going out on a limb and I'm saying the Eagles. Why not?
Yep, I think that win against the Redskins turned us all around for the time being. And the Chargers are the Chargers. So I'm going to go with the Eagles. And they're at home. It's the home opener. So
that's right, the home opener. So you got to give the home crowd something to cheer for.
Yeah, so do it, Eagles. What does Bruno say?
And John Bruno also agrees with us. He has picked the Eagles.
Okay, so Eagles all around there.
Last week, we didn't believe in them, and now we're all converts.
Hip, hip, hooray!
Yay!
All right, the next matchup we got is the Manning Bowl.
Oh, the amazing Manning Bowl. When Peyton Manning faces his younger brother, Eli Manning, at the Giants, Broncos versus the Giants. What do you think, Rich?
The Giants aren't as well as of a team as you'd hope, whereas the Broncos right now could be a Super Bowl contender.
Broncos are running on all cylinders.
Yeah. I mean, personally, you know, if it was just a pure quarterback matchup, it would be much more interesting. But you got to think of the teams at this point, and the Broncos are just a better team right now. Broncos are going
to
win.
Yeah, I agree. We all picked the Giants to beat the Cowboys last week, and the Cowboys ended up winning. And the Giants looked lost and a little confused. The Cowboys had a lot of turnovers, and against a much more elite team like the Broncos compared to the Cowboys, I think the Broncos are just going to dominate. So Broncos win. Peyton Manning wins another in the Manning Bowl saga. And John Bruno agrees as well. Broncos over Giants.
Uh-oh. Wow. So far, we're all in agreement on our Fantastic Four picks.
I want to see what we say with the last game in our Fantastic Four. The 49ers at Seahawks. That's the Sunday night game, a division game for the NFC West.
Arguably, this might be the two best teams in the NFC right now.
I think so.
These two teams, and they're in the same division, too.
Yeah.
That's bad luck.
They're very similar. Stout, tough defenses, read option offense with quick quarterbacks, some fast offense. I'm going to go with the 49ers. They made it to the Super Bowl last year. Colin Kaepernick is just stunning. He's got Anquan Boldin to throw to. He's still got Frank Gore, Vernon Davis. Their defense still has Patrick Willis. I mean, that's just a stacked team right there.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the 49ers as well. I think they have more weapons that they can utilize against the Seahawks. And the 49ers knocked off the Packers in a very convincing fashion. I say 49ers will be able to win this game against the Seahawks.
And I'll be damned, it's a four-team sweep.
With wow, John we all picked the same?
John Bruno picking the 49ers as well.
Wow.
So those are the official picks for all three of us. Bengals over Steelers, Eagles over Chargers, Broncos over the Giants, and the 49ers over the Seahawks. Remember to check the website where you can see all of our picks, and you can pick along with us if you want to.
Yep, go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com, to see our full list of picks for week one. In terms of that standing, me and Bruno are tied at 9-7, and Mike is at 8-8.
You bastards.
At least you're not too far behind. That can be one game that breaks either way.
Yeah.
So you can catch up easily.
It's a long season.
Yeah, it is. And that is our NFL picks for this week. I love those picks.
Yeah, I like that. I like that segment a lot. I just love football.
Yeah.
Obviously, we spent all offseason talking about it, even though there was no football to talk about. And now that it's football season, we don't know what to do with ourselves.
So excited!
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fucking football!
Alright, so there you go.
That was an entertaining clip. I guess that means it's time for our most entertaining segment, the entertainment entree. What was that?
That was a blooper from Sons of Anarchy Season 2.
Okay.
The line he was supposed to say was, "I'm not the one who committed murder." And he flubs the line in the middle of it.
I'm not the one having murder.
I'm not the one having murder.
I'm not the one having murder.
How do you have murder in the first place?
And then having murder. I love outtakes.
We commit so many of them ourselves.
Yeah. But so that is from Sons of Anarchy, and I had to give the shout out because Sons of Anarchy returns this week for season 6. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what happens.
I know you're a huge fan of that show.
Yeah.
On FX, correct?
That is correct. So looking forward to it. And Kurt Sutter's a genius. He can do no wrong with that show. But for the time being, we'll add a new clip to our library.
I'm not the one having murdered.
It almost sounds like Chris Rock there.
What, the clip?
The murder, yeah.
I'm not the one having murdered.
Chris Rock?
A little bit?
I don't hear Chris Rock at all.
No?
No.
Really?
Good try, Mike.
I don't know. I thought it did a little bit.
Let us know. Send us a tweet or a Facebook.
Let me know how wrong I am. I'm usually very wrong, so it won't shock me.
Well, there you go. Shout out to Sons of Anarchy and Kurt Sutter. And everyone with the crew. I love that show.
I'm not the one having murdered.
All right, so what do we got in our first topic for the entertainment entree?
Just something funny that we found online, as usual.
Those are the best bits.
They are the best bits. Rosh Hashanah just ended recently, but we found this video of a Rosh Hashanah version of Daft Punk's Get Lucky. As you know, that's our new favorite song here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And I just wanted to play a little bit of it just to celebrate Rosh Hashanah.
Why not?
Why not?
Let's play the clip. The Rosh Hashanah... Did I say that wrong?
I think so.
Rosh Hashanah, Get Lucky version.
Rosh Hashanah, back to day one. So choose like everyone. Sound the shofar, we're wrong. Set your goals and get clarity. God looks at everyone. Wants us to overcome. Make it like a worthy one. Rosh Hashanah, time to get clarity. 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 Rosh Hashanah, time to get clarity.
All right.
She's saying get flirty.
No, with meaning or oh, it's Rosh Hashanah, time to get clarity.
Oh, time to get clarity.
Yeah, time to get clarity.
sorry.
Time to get flirty? I don't know.
I thought it was. I thought it sounded like flirty, but yeah. Oh well. Oh, you, that's not what you do at Rosh Hashanah?
No, I don't think so.
Sorry.
Rosh Hashanah, in case people don't know, is the Jewish New Year, and I know that because of Wikipedia.
Good job, Mike.
Well, full disclosure, right? I figured if we were going to play it, I should know what it was.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
That's right. You see, Rosh Hashanah, God spoke to me. He gave me clarity. He spoke to me through the internet in tongues like he did in the Bible. You see, it's all coming together now. I'm not crazy. No, not at all.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
So there you go.
But on to some more serious music news. We have a couple of music anniversaries, if you will, to celebrate.
Yeah, right now the date that we're recording this podcast is September 10th, and there's two notable songs that have a birthday today.
Two huge songs.
Yeah.
The first one is, let's see if you'll recognize this one.
One, two, three, baby, don't mess around me, cause she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Outkast's Hey Ya is 10 years old today.
10
years old. Congratulations to Outkast.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, wow, I can't, it's a decade old.
A decade. You remember the song, right?
Yeah. Oh, you couldn't get away from this song.
Oh, this is incredible.
It was on almost any pop, rap, urban, R&B, hip-hop station.
Hey-ya! Hey-ya! The easiest refrain to remember.
Yeah.
Hey-ya! Of course, the breakdown is always popular. All right. Ladies! All right.
So there you go. Outkast, 10 years old today. Their song, Hey Ya. How do you like that?
Wow. I remember listening to that way back. I guess it was it still grade school, I guess? 2003? I guess yeah. Grade school was just ending. That was a wildly popular song at the time. Just like you mentioned, everywhere. So congratulations to Outkast for 10 years on their hit single. And another anniversary, a much older anniversary, also released on this day, was one of the most monumental alternative rock songs, grunge rock. I guess it's just called grunge, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's okay.
whatever. Nirvana's famous Smells Like Teen Spirit was released today 22 years ago in 1991.
Yeah, that and of course that's like the anthem for grunge.
Yeah, this is what basically this was the movement, right?
Oh yeah. This song catapulted Nirvana to mainstream.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Kurt Cobain and Dave Grohl both playing in Nirvana.
Hey, don't forget Kurt Novoselic.
Okay, Kurt Novoselic. Legendary musicians, each in their own right. But this was like an anthem for grunge and for angsty teens everywhere in the early 90s.
I think it still remains an anthem for teens, you know?
It does. It does. And anybody that has gone through that period, which is everybody in their life, yeah. You know,
unless you're 10 years old and listening to this podcast,
which you shouldn't be. Go to bed.
Listen to us after school.
That's right.
And do your homework. But for everybody else, yeah, this has been you know, everyone can relate to, you know, that feeling, you know, of wanting to rebel, but you're not quite sure how to rebel.
Yeah. And so you just mumble with guitars in the background.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
I like to look at things in a lighter view.
But, yeah, once again, just this song. And this song back in the 90s was everywhere because of MTV. Yeah. This was one of the songs that MTV played on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So you couldn't get away from it either on the radio or on television.
Such a phenomenal, monumental song that changed the music industry. So congratulations also to Nirvana, 22 years, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, so there you go. Two monumental songs released on this date, September 10th.
Very different songs, but both amazing in their own right.
Yeah. All right, and we got another topic here in the entertainment entree. Something that is causing a little bit of controversy.
Really? I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends on how you view it. Apparently, a popular prank video was becoming viral over the internet of a girl who was twerking, and when she twerked too hard in her dancing rhythmic styles.
Miley would say you can never twerk too hard.
I don't know, whatever. I don't really care what she says. Apparently she twerked a little too much and she got hurt when she crashed into like a coffee table and there was also candles on it.
And she literally caught fire.
Yeah. And it went viral on the internet. Something ridiculous, like 9 million views, I believe.
Yeah, let me pull up the actual view count real quick. And I clicked on the wrong video.
I believe it's 9 million views.
I think it is 9 million. I wanted to find when it actually came out on YouTube. I don't have the actual date. But it accumulated over 9 million views. But what's the problem with this video then that's causing the controversy?
So Jimmy Kimmel invited the girl onto her show. And
sorry. I just pulled up the video really quick. It was published September 3rd, so not long ago, but 10.7 million views as of the recording.
Yeah. And what happened was Jimmy Kimmel invited her on. And they talked about the video. And during this discussion, Jimmy Kimmel revealed that the whole video was staged by Jimmy Kimmel and their staff.
That's right.
And it was a social media experiment to see how ridiculously shareable would a prank video of this nature spread without any sort of help from Jimmy Kimmel as a celebrity. In other words, Jimmy Kimmel did not promote this video on his website or on his Twitter, on his Facebook, on a show.
No, he didn't. And that's part of the brilliance of it, is that he put it out on September 3rd, I guess, and just let it go. He didn't promote it at all. It was posted under some random YouTube account, like just somebody's random name. And he just left it in the wild for about a week, and then he revealed his devious master plan.
Yeah. And it's kind of bringing up the question whether or not is it fair or foul? Is this something you find this cool, or do you find this kind of a little bit sad that it was all staged?
I think it's amazing because he's proving a point, just how the news media just will gobble this stuff up. Everybody reported it as fact. I mean, I just thought it was funny about how it's very eye-opening how people could potentially abuse viral videos.
Yeah, and 1 week, 9 million views.
Yeah, and con people. And the media needs to do a better job of fact-checking. Apparently, the girl in the video worked as a stunt person. So I guess maybe a quick Google search would have revealed that she does stunts for a living. So I don't know.
Yeah, I feel kind of both feelings. I'm sad that the video itself is a fraud.
Yeah, because the video was amazing.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that wasn't fake or staged, but it is. So I'm sad at that. But yeah, I mean, as a social commentary by Jimmy Kimmel, yeah.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. You know, there are so many people that when they'll read the headlines in the morning or something, they'll just post it on their Facebook or Twitter, and they won't actually read the article. Like another thing I love reading is when people post on their Facebook or Twitter a fake news article that's either promoted by The Onion or by the Crispy Noodle.
That's right.
And they think it's real.
Yeah, I just, every time you see that, you just facepalm. You know, you can't believe that people would, in this day and age, not realize The Onion is a satire site.
Yeah.
And still post it as being truth.
Yeah. Another recent big fraud with that was people were trying to convince other people. People were trying to convince Harry Potter fans that J.K. Rowling was going to do an eighth Harry Potter book. And they like set up this official website, and they had like the official press looking box and the message and everything. But what they did was to you know make sure that people knew that it was a joke. They put the date of the release
right
as April 1st.
Oh, did people realize that though?
Well, the people that were smart enough to read the website realized it said April 1st and
right.
You knew it was fake. But the people that just read the headline and didn't bother to read it, they thought it was real. They posted on their Facebook and their Twitter, and they were like, oh my gosh, there's an eighth Harry Potter book coming out. And just like, no, wrong.
Well, an interesting question that just occurred to me is,
whoa, I can make a website. Here's my flashing text. Yeah, see, that's all you need. Just flashing text, then you can make your own news announcement.
There you go, and it's fact because it's on the internet, and internet never lies.
Whoa, I can make a website. Here's my flashing text.
Make that flashing. It's official.
but a thought that occurred to me is this is clearly a product of the society we live in nowadays with modern technology. There's no really any way to combat this. You know, no matter the due diligence that you take, there's always going to be stories like this video that will fool a whole bunch of people. So could people use this for malicious intent?
Well, I think ever since the internet got popular, people have been using it for malicious intent. You know, you can't...
I know, but I'm just thinking now, you know, down the road, it's not going to get any better.
Well, you know, I mean, if...
It's just an interesting social thing to think about, you know? I mean, we always knew the internet could be used for malicious intent. People do that all the time. But now, I guess, because Jimmy Kimmel has really brought it to the forefront with this little experiment that he did, maybe people, I don't know, just going to take it too far?
Perhaps, but, you know, another thing that's also been increasing is your personal print on websites. Like, so far, most websites that you go to that are huge mainstream websites, they require you to log in with, like, your Facebook or your Twitter or some sort of way that the website knows it's you.
Right. Well, you could always fake a Facebook.
You could, but...
Or a Twitter.
I'm just saying that with this personalization effect, I think that's going to help reduce the amount of malicious activity.
There's still a lot of anonymous corners of the internet, though.
Yes, there are.
Reddit, 4chan, YouTube, Anonymous, the hacker organization. So, I mean... Yes, your face is everywhere now, your identity is everywhere, but also there are still those corners where people might take advantage of this. I mean, being a big Redditor, you go on there and you see people, what they refer to as karma whoring. Can I say that? Whoring?
Yeah.
Okay. Where people will do stuff for karma, and of course it'll all be a big lie or a hoax. Somebody did...
And what's karma?
Karma is what you earn on Reddit posts. If it's a good post, the community will upvote you, and your post will make it to the top of whatever subreddit you're on, and that's called karma. So what people will do, they're fake internet points.
Okay.
So what people will do is they will create outlandish stories in order to get as much karma as possible. There was a person that did an interview on Reddit, referred to as an AMA, Ask Me Anything, posing as a cancer patient that was dying in a few days, and it ended up being a hoax.
Oh.
So that's
really just lowball.
Exactly. But that's what I'm getting at. I'm realizing, you know, not that this is a revelation, because we all know that that stuff happens on the internet all the time.
What?
Yeah, I know. The internet is dishonest? No, it can't be.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Yeah, what?
It's speaking in tongues. You can't trust it.
You mean the Nigerian prince that I gave my bank account information to? He's not going to send me the $35 million?
I'm sorry. I don't think he will.
That fucking sucked.
Oh. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that...
Praise the glorious leader.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Praise the glorious leader, Jimmy Kimmel, for this amazing prank.
Yeah, it is a pretty good prank.
It is an amazing prank.
And good on social commentary too.
It is a good social commentary, and like I said, it makes me think about where the internet might be heading. Just some interesting food for thought. Yeah. I didn't mean to get that heavy with it, but
yeah, think, you know, just be careful what you post and
yeah,
fact check your sources. All right, and let's get to one more story in the entertainment entree. This could be an interesting transition out of the entertainment entree into our wacky segment, but it's relevant for the entertainment entree specifically because this is a famous blog site that I found a story about. This is just weird. A movie blogger that was irate over cell phone usage during a Toronto International Film Festival screening actually called 911 to report the offense. This guy was from the website firstshowing.net, which is a pretty popular website for movie information and sneak peeks at movies.
Right.
Apparently, their blogger, Alex Billington, became increasingly annoyed by someone who's constantly texting and emailing at a screening for press members only. After first complaining to the theater manager, Billington decided to take the extreme step and dialed the police in the theater.
Don't you think that's a little too extreme? And I just want to point out that he then used his phone in the theater.
Yeah.
The very thing that he was complaining against. So I just want to point out that hypocrisy right there.
When he called 911, he said that the emergency dispatcher laughed at his complaint, but then Billington decided to post on Twitter about what happened. He was concerned that the movie was being pirated by the person who was using his cell phone.
Ah, so he was like a knight in shining armor protecting the rights of the movie.
Yeah. Billington wrote in his tweet, quote, "I'm just trying to fight the good fight, even if others don't agree with my methods."
Well, I don't agree with his methods because I think, look, you don't call 911 because somebody's using their phone in a movie theater.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. Because, all right, so
it's not theft. It's not like extreme theft. It's not like he's like, I mean, unless he is actually videotaping the movie.
First off, have you ever tried to record a TV or a computer screen with a phone?
Yeah, it doesn't work well.
So if that guy really is pirating, he's the worst pirate in the world. Oh, they'll love my shaky cam footage with my heavy breathing in the background and blurry picture.
I gotta get some popcorn.
Camera's shaking. I'm doing hand motions. I realize nobody can see me.
Good job, Mike.
I'm Italian. What do you want?
Okay. Mike's Italian.
You know we talk with our hands.
Yeah, we do. It's necessary.
It is necessary. It's a requirement.
But yeah, it was just an interesting story that popped up on my news feed. And it's from a pretty reputable, you know, the website, firstshowing.net is a pretty reputable movie news site. So it's just odd that one of their, bloggers would go this, extreme for a, phone use.
And it is pretty extreme. And I just want to point out, let's say through a weird sort of circumstance that using a phone in a movie theater becomes illegal by United States law. So he calls 911 to report somebody using the cell phone. Do you see where I'm going with this? But he called 911 in the movie theater. So
he's got to go outside and use a payphone.
Yeah, exactly. My point is, does the person using the phone get arrested and then he get arrested for calling 911? I mean, what was, you know,
Was worried that the guy was stealing the movie. So, I guess you could put it in that he was.
But I'm just saying.
You have to think of it as.
I'm just saying, though, if it were illegal to use a phone in a theater, yeah, then.
But the way this guy's thinking is that he's stealing the movie. How would you report a theft? You'd call it
911, yeah.
I mean, I guess that was his logic.
Did he go to the movie theater staff, though, did you say?
Yeah, he did. He said he did went to the theater. He did go to the theater manager,
and they
first.
Didn't do anything.
Apparently not. So I don't know. Maybe it's a theater manager's
fault.
Maybe
it was just a really bad movie, and nobody cared that he was pirating it.
Yeah, according to the news report, they were going to see The Sacrament. I don't even know what that is.
Never heard of it.
So yeah, maybe it's that bad.
It's either some crappy B movie or one of those little quirky indie films that nobody pays attention to.
The 911 dispatcher was just like, yeah, that's a crappy movie. That's not going to, that's not worth us sending a cop car out there.
Yeah. That's a B horror movie. We don't really worry about those ones.
Yeah.
If it was the Avengers, we'd send somebody right over.
Okay, right away.
They confiscated our phones when we went to see the one Iron Man 3, remember?
Yeah, we went to go see the Iron Man 3 ahead of screening. Yeah, we had to hand in our cell phones.
Going to those premieres was definitely an event. I've never had my phone confiscated going into a movie theater before. That was odd.
Yeah, because they didn't want that to be shared.
Hey, that's serious stuff for them.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, because that all it takes is one person. If you got one person that gets a really good...
Yeah, LOL, here's the ending.
Yeah.
Lol, you know.
Lol.
So there you go. Just an odd story that came up on my news feed, and I figured I had to mention it. But speaking of odd news, that's a great transition into our wackiest segment, one of Mike's favorite segments.
Everybody's favorite segment.
It's time for our non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back. Get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
And there's a clip taken from last week.
The chicken nugget rant lady who...
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
That's her threat.
That she threatened that she would assume her ultimate form in
she
order
didn't get her
to
chicken
get
McNuggets.
Chicken nuggets.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Although, if presented with that situation, I would say, you know what? I'm just going to make you some chicken nuggets because I do not want to see your ultimate form.
You become like that waitress in Tommy Boy where you're just like, okay. I will turn on the kitchen burners and we'll see if we can get you some chicken wings, okay?
Like, just gets to that point.
But, so, yeah, that was a bit from last week. Check that out.
All right, well, let's get into the odd news for this week. I'm excited, as always. What's the first story, Rich? Something good, please.
Well, the first one is actually a big warning that we need to send out to everybody.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because humanity's worst fear has been realized. Wasps are getting drunk, and they're not fun drunks either.
Do you mean... white Anglo-Saxon Protestants or wasps and the bees?
The bees.
Oh no! Are they angry drunks?
No, they are. They're pretty bad.
Okay.
The British Red Cross is officially warning citizens of a record number of wasps in the UK that are quote out of a job, meaning their queens are fully supplied with nectar, meaning that the worker wasps do nothing but laze around, drink fermenting fruit, which is alcohol, and then go flying off.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So they're drunk flyers.
Right. And drunk stingers.
So you see, airline pilots aren't the only ones flying drunk.
Is that a flight reference?
Sort of. I was just taking a dig at the whole industry in general, but...
I just saw that movie with...
It was a good movie.
Denzel. Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
But tell
me about these drunk wasps. I was about to say bumblebees.
No, these aren't bumblebees. They're wasps.
Yeah, much... worse.
Yeah. It is reported that as winter approaches, wasps are also becoming bolder and angrier because they're also getting older with age. Yeah.
They're horny old bastards.
And now, since these bees are getting wasted, they are now stinging with more frequency. So this is a really bad combination. They're old. They're angry that they don't have a job to do with their queen bee.
They're drunk.
They're now drunk.
And they're violent.
Yeah.
It's like a really depressing plot for a movie. Like an out-of-work father gets drunk and just starts beating people.
Hey, Seinfeld, we got your sequel to the bee movie.
Oh, yeah. The bee movie. Jerry Seinfeld's bee is out of work.
Drunk wasps.
Drunk wasps.
Coming soon. So, and wasps are really worse than bees. Wasps have been known to literally tear bees in half.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
those guys are violent.
So if a wasp and a bee get into a fight, the bee
is going to lose.
Yeah. The wasp has the capability to tear it in half.
Well, thank God we're not bees.
Yeah. But that still doesn't mean you'll escape the drunk wasps.
The drunk wasps.
Yeah. So be careful. Keep on the lookout for those crazy wasps.
Oh, man.
Old and drunk wasps. They'll be hanging out at the bar telling you about old stories.
I know. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like you're talking about like like depression era America or something. They're out of work, they're drunk, and they're just violent and beating people left and right.
They're just hanging out at the bar, just, you know.
Back in my day, we used to hang out with the queen bee all the time. It was great.
I would fly from one flower to another flower and another flower, but now there ain't no more flowers for me to fly
you
to.
Damn kids took them all up. Get off my lawn. I'll sting you with my ass.
Well, that's what bees do.
Yeah, that's what they do.
I mean, yeah, you have to put it in that context, you know? You have to think about it, like, if bees could talk, what would they say? I'm going to sting you with my ass.
Just let me drink alone, goddammit.
Let me drink alone. Don't make me whip my ass out.
So there you go. If Mike was an angry bee, drunk wasp.
An angry drunk wasp.
There you go. But in all seriousness, keep on the lookout for wasps.
Don't go batting around any wasp nests.
Yeah.
Because they're drunk.
Don't be like Macaulay Culkin in My Girl.
They're hungover wasps. Yeah. Do wasps get hungover?
They get drunk, apparently. I guess they would have to get...
That's what they're doing inside the hive. That's why they attack. It's not because they're being threatened. It's because they're hungover and they don't want to be disturbed.
Billy, stop hitting me with rocks. This guy, I had a rough night last night.
It's that damn Macaulay Culkin kid again. Let's make this movie completely frightening and terrifying for everybody that watches it.
Whoops.
Whoops.
I just wanted to sting him so he'd go away.
That movie,
Billy, you killed him! Jesus Christ!
You went too far!
All he was looking for was his glasses, Billy! Oh, crazy kid, I don't know.
That was a sad movie.
It is. My girl is it's a
that
nice
is like,
movie,
this
but
it's like borderline traumatizing.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, like when you think about it.
You know, there's a sequel to that movie.
Yeah, I've seen it. My Girl too. Yeah.
Is it good?
It's just weird because
how do you make a sequel to that?
All it is just her trying to find out about her mom's side of the family.
That sounds like a letdown compared to the
it
first
is.
One.
It is. It's not as good as the first one. Yeah.
I want to go back and watch the first one now.
Yeah.
If you ever feel like being incredibly depressed and traumatized, watch My Girl.
Yep. It has everything you want in a depressing movie.
A funeral home. Yeah, she lives in a funeral home. Isn't she like a hypochondriac? She thinks she's like always sick.
Yeah. She has the weirdest last name, Sultanfuss.
She gets like, there was that one scene where she gets like locked in the morgue because the basketball went down there, right?
Something like, yeah. And it's been like, a long time since I've seen it as well.
Oh my God. It's just so vivid because the first time I saw it was like,
and then Macaulay Culkin dies.
Yeah, with the bees. Yeah. We're ruining it for people now.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, oh well. That was so apathetic.
We're saving you from sadness, all right?
Yeah.
Only watch My Girl if you feel like being sad.
There you go. Just not when you're too sad, because then you might be like really like depressed, like clinical depression, which isn't good.
A hypochondriac.
Yeah, hypochondriac.
All right, let's get to our next story. Enough bee talk.
Yeah.
Although this guy's name begins with B, so I guess it's close. Nursing student Brent Bishop came over to his neighbors in search of his dog, but what he ended up finding was a whole mess of trouble, because the 21-year-old's unexpected visit to his neighbor's yard last month turned truly bizarre after he decided to cut down his neighbor's U.S. flag, slash the tires on his car, and then decided to steal a bunch of frozen pork out of his freezer.
What?
Yeah.
This is the weirdest crime spree ever. cut the flag. He slashed his tires, you said?
Yep.
And stole frozen pork.
Yep.
Was he planning on doing...
This dastardly villain.
Was he planning on doing something with all that pork? Or?
Well, Bishop told police that he had been drinking at the time.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
He was out drinking with the wasps.
Yeah, he was out, you know, had a rough time with the wasps.
He said that he remembers taking the neighbor's flag, and that's it. He doesn't remember anything else about the rest of the neighbor's about the rest of the incident.
So he stole a bunch of frozen pork chops in a drunken rage.
Yep.
Hold on. Is this about Homer Simpson?
Why?
Pork chops are Homer's favorite food.
And what, did he steal pork chops?
No, but he gets drunk. Pork chops. No? All right. Never mind.
Yeah,
continue with the story. That fucking sucked. I thought it was funny, okay? Damn it.
Bishop said that he remembered burning his hand when he tried to light a cigarette during that night, but he couldn't remember what else happened.
He also told police that he was now concerned about his drinking. So it's good.
Well, I'm glad he could open up.
Yeah.
I'm glad he could open up to the police officer arresting him for drunken behavior.
Oh, man. I got to stop this, man. Oh, well, that's nice that you said that. Let's reduce the charges.
Well, bail is only $10,000 now.
Well, don't worry. The cops did not feel sorry for him. He still faces charges of burglary, theft, criminal mischief, and flag desecration.
Yeah, isn't that like a...
It is a crime.
That's a big crime.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, he has a couple of charges coming his way. The cops do not feel sorry for his remorse on drinking.
No.
After he got caught.
Or else, you know, they have the insanity defense. Now it would be the I'm sorry for my drunken actions defense.
Yeah, I can't believe I did that. I gotta take it easy. Two beers from now on.
Two beers from now on. I'll only drink two cases.
Yeah. The wasps handle two beers. Why can't I handle them? All right, let's get to the next story.
What did he do with the pork chops?
Maybe George Carlin knows what, because he had what?
When will Jesus bring the pork chops? Yeah.
Maybe he was trying to fill George Carlin. I don't know.
Did it say what happened to the pork?
No.
That's the biggest mystery there. How many did he steal?
Just a bunch of frozen. Frozen?
Frozen?
Just stole a bunch of frozen pork out of the freezer. Doesn't say how much.
That's just the weirdest thing.
He wanted that pork.
I guess so.
Hey.
Aren't you mystified by it?
Hey, no, because, you know, sometimes you get hungry.
True.
And you will steal anything for a barbecue pork sandwich.
You know? Personal experience?
Yeah, you know, I'm telling you.
You held up a couple of Arby's or something?
Not officially.
Not officially?
But, you know.
Not officially. So unofficially?
Yeah, unofficially. Off the record.
Off the record? This is a holdup. Off the record, though. So,
yeah,
so this doesn't go in the police report? That's like the perfect way to get away with a crime. Unofficially. Oh, he said unofficially.
Yeah, I can't report that.
I just see the police interview him. Ma'am, what exactly happened? Well, he said unofficially. Oh, our work here is done.
Well, you said off the record.
Off the record.
You agreed.
That's my legal defense.
He made me sign a written contract. I'm legally obligated.
That's my legal defense. It was off the record.
The shortest episode of Law and Order ever. What happened here? He said it was off the record.
Credits roll.
Credits roll.
That's it.
Executive producer, Dick Wolf.
Yeah, you always have to have the Dick Wolf credit.
Man, he must be rolling in money.
Yeah, there's like a Law and Order for everything. There's Law and Order London. There really is.
Is there really?
Yeah. If you watch BBC, yeah.
Do they all talk with like Cockney accents or something?
They talk in British accents.
I want Cockney.
Get on that. Mike wants that. BBC America, get on that.
All righto, governor. I didn't commit no crime, see? Is that Cockney? Was that a Cockney accent?
I have no idea.
Okay, all right, then. Anyway.
Facebook or Twitter that.
Oh, my gosh.
Did Mike do a proper accent there? Let us know. All right, let's get to our next story.
All right.
In Tacoma, Washington, firefighters had to chisel a hole through bricks early Tuesday to rescue a man who had gotten himself stuck inside a 20-inch wide chimney space at a Washington hotel, a Washington home that had been converted to apartments. The young man was not hurt and was not suspected of any crime, but it's still unclear as to why he was in the unused chimney.
Yeah, I want to know that too.
But
this is crazy.
Okay. Well, we've had crazy stories before.
Tacoma Battalion Fire Chief Dyer Fudge.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Come on. Are you serious?
Yes. Dyer Fudge.
Dyer Fudge.
That's the guy's name.
Dyer Fudge.
Yep.
Oh, come on. This is just ridiculous.
I love his full title.
I'm Detective Chocolate Chip.
I love his full title, Tacoma Battalion Fire Chief.
Why is it battalion?
I honestly, I don't know.
Well, anyway, Dyer Fudge said that the man claims that he has told stories that range from he was playing hide and seek to he was trying to repair the ceiling. Nobody can get a straight story from the man.
Those are two wildly different stories.
Yeah. In my 35th year of being a firefighter, I've never seen anything like this. It's something different every day. You can't make this up.
You know what? That is a brilliant way to get away with a crime. I mean, other than doing it off the record.
Yeah, my foolproof method.
You just keep changing the story.
Yeah.
They'll never figure it out.
Apparently, that's what this guy's doing. He told one person he was playing hide and seek, and another person he was trying to repair the ceiling. So firefighters had to lower a rope to the man to hold him in place while he was until he was able to step out of the fireplace a half hour later after firefighters were called to the home. A technical team that was trained in confined space rescues had to rip a hole in the wall and use power equipment to cut a hole in the chimney. Luckily, the man never panicked and did not have real respiratory distress, according to responders on the scene.
It's because he's done it before, probably. No, I mean, honestly, don't you think? He's got so many prepared excuses. Don't you think that he's done it before?
I guess at this point.
And now he got caught. Now all of his excuses are running together.
Maybe. But apparently they will never find out why he was in there in the first place.
I'm going with, like, fetish porn stash.
Hiding in the chimney?
Yeah. I mean, come on. He wasn't playing hide and seek, and he wasn't repairing the roof.
Who would he play hide and seek with? It's just him.
Yeah, really. I was playing hide and seek with myself, which sounds creepy enough in it on its own.
So, there you go.
It's up to you to determine why he was in there.
What's your theory? I want to hear your theory.
I'm going to go...
What was he really doing?
Going after Santa.
Going after Santa? He was setting traps for Santa in September?
Yes. In case he comes early?
Santa's like, you know, I feel like delivering a couple of presents this weekend.
Yeah.
I think I'll just drop by. What's this? A tripwire in the chimney?
I got to take care of a couple off the list, all right?
Off the record.
Off the record.
Everything is off the record this episode. Oh, wow. All right.
Another. Let's get to the next story.
Okay.
This one's crazy as well. Seattle police say that a baptism celebration turned into an all-out brawl.
I want to baptize the baby. Who died and made you priest? Jesus.
Police say that there was abundant alcohol being served at
this... What type of baptism was this? Yeah, in the name of the Father, the Son, get out the keg, and the Holy Spirit. Little Joey's doing his first keg stand. Police. That's why I don't remember my baptism. Everybody was drunk.
I didn't know you have to drink with the baby. Oh, all right. Police say that abundant alcohol was being served Saturday night at the South Park Community Center to celebrate the baptism, and fighting began to break out before midnight. When officers arrived and tried to break up the fight, the whole family turned on the officers.
No, are you serious?
Yes.
There's a common enemy. Kill him!
A citywide call for more help had to be brought in, and King County deputies had to come in to disperse the rest of the crowd.
No, this is viral marketing for GTA 5. What do you think? Grand Theft Auto 5? They had to call like the military to stop them?
Because this is going like 5 stars?
Yeah, it's like this is a 5-star baptism. They're going Michael Corleone on their ass. It's going to be a mission in Grand Theft Auto 5. Ruin your son's baptism. Is that the only religious clip you have?
Yes. Shut up.
Okay. Rich is going to come in next week with like 30 religious clips.
Religion, I have...
Praise the glorious leader.
I am the Satan's number proclaimer.
Wait, Satan is a religion now? I guess for some people.
Yeah.
You could for be. You.
Yeah, what do you think I do after the show?
Is that what the gallon of blood is for?
Yeah, duh.
Oh, okay.
By the way, you have that for today. I got to use it tonight.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's going to expire. It's going to expire.
Yeah, the blood expires.
Oh, you can't drink it past the 10th.
Oh, man. That was a close call, Mike. You almost gave me the one that was due.
What happens when blood expires? You can tell when we do our shows later at night. you can just tell.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Of the five officers who were assaulted, two left with minor injuries. The two suspects who began the fight are the ones that went to jail for this incident.
I can't believe they turned on the police.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to settle this our own way, all right? You don't have any purpose here.
Hey, butt out, buddy.
Yeah. So, there you go. Baptism brawl.
Those cops must have been so shocked. They're there to break up a brawl at a baptism, first of all.
Yeah.
And then all the partygoers turn on them. Yeah. They must have been going, what the hell is going on here?
So.
Oh, wow.
Just further proof a fight can happen anywhere.
I want to know what religion serves alcohol with their baptisms.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember my baptism.
This wasn't in a church. This happened in the South Park Community Center in Seattle.
So was it like a party after the baptism?
I don't know.
Because I just have this
happened in the community center.
I just have this picture of like people getting completely drunk at a baptism. Like the priest is just spilling holy water everywhere.
Everyone gets baptized today.
You get baptized and you get baptized.
Come on over here. Everyone's going to get baptized. Oh, we're going to have a baptism wet t-shirt contest.
Woo, yeah.
Come on down, ladies.
And here's the godmother. Oh, my gosh. Strip for Jesus. All right, we're getting out of hand now.
Jesus just goes, I ain't even mad.
I ain't even mad. Jesus is just sitting there. Continue. So what? You have one more thing for us?
Yeah, and I got one last story here. Right. And this is, it's an odd news story, and it sounds depressing when I first read it, but you'll get why it's funny.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a tribute. An old grandmother passed away on Sunday from New Jersey. And apparently, she was quite the character because her family decided to make her obituary a list of lessons that she was able to teach friends and family.
That's pretty cool.
I figured I would read some of the things that this that what was in her obituary.
Okay.
Okay, the woman is Mary Mullaney, who was the grandmother. People who were friends with her called her Pink.
Okay.
The obituary goes, she entered eternal life on Sunday, September 1st. She is survived by 6 children, 17 grandchildren, and 3 surviving siblings in New Jersey. Actually written in her obituary as Joisey, Joisey.
Joisey.
We were blessed to learn many valuable lessons from Pink during her 85 years on this earth. Here's a list of them. Number 1, never throw away old pantyhose.
All right.
That's not very important. That's number 1.
You could use it in a bank heist.
She says you can use old ones to tie gutters together, childproof cabinets, tie toilet flappers together, or hang Christmas ornaments.
All right then. She was a thrifty old lady.
Yep. Number 2, if a possum takes up residence in your shed, grab a barbecue brush to coax them out. If the possum doesn't leave, brush him for 20 minutes and he's allowed to stay in your yard.
I'm assuming she adopted quite a few possums.
Yes, she was the possum lady, apparently.
So the cat lady, this is the possum lady?
Yeah.
Lesson number 3. Go to church with a chicken sandwich in your purse.
Wow. In case the Eucharist doesn't fill you up.
No.
She decided to give the chicken sandwich to homeless friends after the mass.
Oh.
So she
always... I feel bad about my joke now.
It's okay, Mike. You didn't know what was coming.
Well, you know, you could bring a second one for yourself.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be just one.
Make sure you're well prepared.
instead of like reading the psalm book, you just take out a chicken sandwich and start. People are like, what are you doing? I'm having lunch.
You don't need...
Back off.
You don't need the Eucharist.
I'm good, Padre.
You just walk over there with like a slice of pizza. It's all right.
The next lesson. Go visit nursing homes and kiss everyone there.
Aw, that's sweet. Kind of weird, but sweet.
It's okay. Just
can't be kissing random elderly people. I'm pretty sure there are like crimes against, there are laws against that.
Well, for her, there wasn't.
Okay.
The next lesson, always invite new friends to Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a nice rule of thumb. Next, if you have picky eating children, put them in a box at the bottom of the laundry chute, tell them that they are hungry lions trapped in a cage, and feed them veggies through the slots in the cage.
Wow. She would be arrested for child endangerment nowadays.
But she's just a cute grandmother at this point.
Police got a call. She threw her kids down the laundry chute, and she's only feeding them one piece of carrot at a time?
And she's calling them hungry lions?
We're going to have to bring her in. She's 90. That's okay.
I guess we can't do anything. She's going to die anyway, right?
She's going to die anyway? Oh, Rich.
Sorry, I took it too far there. My bad.
Oh, she's knocking on death's door. We might as well just let her commit all the crimes she wants. You'd be a horrible police officer.
That's why I'm not a police officer.
First you tell the person she's going to die. So then you give her a free pass on all the crimes she wants.
Rich Liebig. Cop beat.
You were just...
You know. Let her be. I don't know.
You're just full of legal advice, and you're a beacon of justice over there.
Yeah. I've played enough Batman games. I can be a hope for justice and stuff.
I'm Batman.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's get a couple more going here. Take magazines that you've already read to all the doctor's offices in your area and let others enjoy them.
That's a good one.
Yeah, what else are you going to do with magazines after you write them? Always make sure that a cold drink will be left for an overheated garbage collector and mail carriers. That's nice, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. Some of these are, you know, you wouldn't think of them.
Yeah. And write letters to everyone about anything that you would like to.
Whenever.
Yep.
Whoever. Whatever.
She says there's no shortages of writing.
Oh, okay.
So in conclusion, in a world that Mary Mullaney lived in, she continued to ensure that a cold drink would be left for every overheated garbage collector and mail carrier. Every baby would be kissed. Every nursing home resident would also be kissed. The hungry will have a sandwich. The guests will have a warm bed. And the encroaching possum will know the soothing sensation of a barbecue brush upon its back. Friends and strangers she would love to have met in her life can visit Pink's family at the Furyk Funeral Home this Thursday. Dress comfortably with a splash of pink if you have it. Valet parking is available. And that's the end of her obituary.
That is an awesome obituary.
That's pretty interesting. It's just a different way to write an obituary.
Yeah, you know, that's the whole point of it, though, is to remember the deceased and the things that they've left behind for you, whether they be, you know, something physical or memories or lessons like that.
Yeah, and what this family decided to do was just list a famous best bits of her.
And that, I love that they took a humorous twist to it, like with the possum thing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the down the laundry chute. That was really nice. That was.
I just love how the ending, it's like, this is her world, and it's just like the weird things that she did.
This is her world. Deal with it.
The hungry will have a sandwich. So, That was Mary Mullaney. Sorry to hear of the passing among the family. Apparently, she was a great woman.
That sounds like it. I mean, look at her. She's adopting possums and giving cold drinks to, what was it, garbage men? Or
yeah. And sandwiches at church.
Sandwiches at church. And
I could deal with a sandwich at church.
Putting her kids in the garbage.
I always got hungry at church.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what the Eucharist is for, Rich.
It's a little wafer.
Yeah, I don't have anything. It is just a wafer.
Good job, Mike.
Well, I was going to try and think of something. I was like, no, I don't want to get too sacrilegious. Although we do worship Satan now, according to the show.
I am the Satan's number proclaimer. That's right. And there you go. That is what I have for the non-fortune cookie odd news. I was about to burp in the middle of that.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Sorry.
You know what? That's funny. That was just something that we learned. As that list was something that we learned. So you know what time it must be?
It's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
We got a lot of them.
Uh-oh.
I was taking meticulous notes.
All right, what did we learn, Mike?
I'm going to start with the latest one. Today we learned that Rich is a beacon of justice.
Yes!
Apparently, if 90-year-old women commit a crime, Rich says, she'll just die soon anyway. She can get away with it.
Yeah, I think that's sound reasoning.
I think so. We also learned, again, from our pal Rich here, the beacon of justice, that you can commit any crime off the record. That's all you got
to
do.
You have to say it before the crime.
That's right.
That's important. You can't do that after.
Unofficially, off the record, I'm going to rob this bank.
There you go. That's how you do it.
Again, another Rich, man, you're on fire today. We learned that you are Satan's number proclaimer and also the minister of culture to the greater Philadelphia area.
Thank you. It's a tough job. Somebody's got to do it.
So there you go. A beacon of justice and the minister of culture.
Yes.
Speaking of culture, though, Dennis Rodman, we learned, is a foreign extraordinaire. Not a diplomat, just a foreign extraordinaire.
I think that's a unique title that he deserves.
Yes. He's putting himself in all sorts of unique situations overseas. We learned that wasps generally threaten people by saying, I'll sting you in the ass. Or I'll sting you with my ass. I'll sting you in the ass with my ass. It's ass on ass stinging.
All right, there you go. Right. Exclusive for Mike.
Oh, God. Do you have anything else?
Who would have thought the Eagles have an offense?
Yeah, hey, go Eagles.
Yeah, how about that?
We also learned, of course, that Outkast is celebrating 10 years for their song Hey Ya, and Nirvana is celebrating 22 years of their song Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yep, and so props to them. Good songs there.
Well, we learned a lot this episode, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
That is what we've learned on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That last segment, because it's a nice recap.
Yeah, and it gives us a chance to laugh at all our jokes from throughout the episode. Just a little.
Apparently, I was the big joke guy to laugh at.
Yeah.
Oh well.
You made a couple of statements. Then, as usual, I ran away with them and twisted them completely out of context.
It's okay.
But that's what we do.
That's the fun of the Crispy
Noodle
Podcast.
That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's how we do it. Oh, and there is the Get Lucky 8-bit music, which means it's time to wrap up the show.
The brand spanking new conclusion music that we have.
Yeah.
We decided that last week, didn't we?
Yeah, and I think it's a good way to end the show.
I think so, too. It's nice and relaxing and very cool and laid back.
Yep. Well, this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want more of the Crispy Noodle fun and mayhem, go to thecrispynoodle.com. Also, follow us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Both of us, just search The Crispy Noodle and you'll be able to find us. And also, go to YouTube, subscribe to us there so you get the latest in Best Bits and Promos.
And, of course, most importantly, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you can get the latest podcast downloaded straight to your phone, MP3 player, tablet, computer, however you want to listen to us. Take us on the go. Listen to us at home, at work, wherever.
That's right. And if you want to follow us individually, I am on Twitter at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And there you go. What a show, Mike.
Another great one.
Another good one in the books. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week for another fun-filled episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
See ya.
See you guys next week. Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Oh my gosh.